Right now, spy versus spy. When we hear about tactics like fake identities and phone taps, Walmart and Hewlett-Packard may not be the names that first leap to mind, but more and more, corporations are hiring former spooks who bring the techniques that they learned in the CIA, MI5, and the KGB with them. They don't often use James Bond tactics, but sometimes techniques may be illegal. Others, though, are just sneaky. The obvious question, why, and should we be concerned? Douglas France is a senior writer at Portfolio Magazine. His article, Spy vs. Spy, ran in the January issue. He joins us in a moment. We'd like to know, what's your experience with corporate espionage? If you're a former agent, where do you work? If you're not, has your company hired spooks? Our number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Doug France is in a studio at NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Neil. I'm glad to be back.
And why does a company like Walmart need former CIA agents?
Well, that's a good question. Walmart has a massive internal investigations capability, and I think it's probably because they're spread so widely across the globe that as they've grown, they feel like the threats have grown to the physical safety of their plants and of their employees, and so they've grown this internal security outfit into an enormous thing. I was just talking to a guy this week who did some outside work, a private investigator for Walmart, and he said that he's a former government agent, and he said that Walmart has a computer in Bentonville, Arkansas, at their headquarters, that is more powerful than any computer at the Pentagon. And he said, you know, they use that computer to monitor the activities of their stores and of their employees, and also we found out in reporting this article that they use those same techniques to monitor competitors and customers from time to time.
I was just asking you what the focus is. Is the focus on monitoring your own employees, or is the focus on a little corporate espionage and see what the other fellow's doing?
Well, I think it's on both. I think it's both. I think it's one for the sort of the first level of security, you know, for security for your stores and your employees. But there's a second level that just is part and parcel of that, and they use that to spy on their employees. In the piece, I write about a former executive vice president in charge of marketing for Walmart who got crossways with the company, and they began digging into her life when they fired her. When they were planning to fire her, they started digging into her life and using their private investigative muscle there, including ex-CIA and ex-FBI agents. And they uncovered an affair she was having with a subordinate at Walmart, and they were able even to go so far as to get private emails that these two Walmart employees had exchanged. One of them was using a Gmail account, and he would have expected some privacy there. But in fact, what they found out, much to their chagrin, was that they had no privacy, and their very private, intimate emails were splashed all over a lawsuit filed by Walmart.
And lawsuit seems to be where you find out about a lot of this stuff, because obviously corporate espionage is, by its nature, well, secretive.
Yeah, I mean, the ex-intelligence agents, the ex-CIA agents, ex-FBI agents, ex-Secret Service people who have really been pouring into this line of work for the last 10 years or a little more have brought, you know, a lot of the same techniques they used when working for the government. And one of those techniques, of course, is to cover your tracks whenever you can. So it took me a couple of months, really, to crack this story and find people who were willing to talk to me from the inside about the techniques that they used, some of the anecdotes that they used, some of the ways in which these ex-intelligence agents clearly strayed over the line, at least the ethical line, and in some cases, I believe, the legal line as well.
Well, they also bring not just techniques, but some of the words they use to describe those techniques, and you have a breakout on some of these words. For example, pretexting. What's pretexting?
Well, pretexting became famous about a year and a half ago in the Hewlett-Packard case, which you mentioned in the intro, Neil. Pretexting is where a private investigator will, usually they'll call up a telephone company or a bank or a credit card company or one Equifax, one of the credit reporting agencies, and they will pretend to be someone else. They'll pretend to be you, frankly, and try to get your telephone records. And that's what happened in the Hewlett-Packard case. Hewlett-Packard hired some outside investigators because they were trying to pin down a leak from their board of sensitive board material. And so these agents of Hewlett-Packard went out and pretended to be board members and pretended to be journalists so they could get access to the telephone records and find out who was calling whom here and which board members might have been leaking to the press. And the outcry was so large over Hewlett-Packard that Congress very quickly passed a new federal law making it illegal now to pretend to be someone else to get private telephone records. They added that to an earlier law that makes it illegal to use pretexting to get bank records or credit card records. But in fact, from talking to people who are involved deeply in the private investigative world, those records are still available. Pretexting still operates on that level. And then it's far more common on another level where one of these private investigators will pretend to be a journalist, a freelancer, or even a reporter for a reputable magazine or newspaper in calling someone and trying to get information from them that way. So pretexting is really pretending, misrepresenting yourself.
Data haunts. What are data haunts?
Oh, data haunts was a new one on me. Pretexting has been around, but I was sitting in an office with a guy who is not an ex-intelligence agent, but he's a computer geek, and he has a bunch of ex-CIA guys who work for him. And so that's how I got into his office to talk to him on this. But he described to me data haunting, and that's where they capture all of your data. They capture your email traffic as best they can. Sometimes they'll send a Trojan horse into your computer so that they have one of these software programs that will capture your keystrokes so they'll be able to tell what you're writing. If you work for a company and you're using a company email, you should know that the company is always doing that. That's available to them. But this data haunting is outsiders coming in. They'll capture cell phone traffic. They'll go up and in some cases they'll watch the tail markings of private jets that corporate executives use so they can track where they're going, and they collect all this data to try and get a picture of what various corporate executives may be doing or what an executive who may be going astray is doing. And they call it a haunt because they're like a ghost. You're never really supposed to know that you're there. And that's one of those areas, Neil, where certain elements of it are within the law, but it's very easy to cross that line and to get information to which you're not entitled by the law.
And if they get damaging information against somebody, they then might apply the hard shoulder. What's the hard shoulder?
Yeah, the hard shoulder is one that came from Israeli intelligence. And it's emblematic of the way these ex-government agents come into the business world and use the same techniques. The hard shoulder is when you find out derogatory information about someone and you go directly to them, and it's essentially a not so benign form of blackmail or extortion. And you know this dirty information, and you say you're going to do something my way, or you're going to back off on this transaction, or else I'm going to release this information. You know, the hard shoulder is really a polite term for extortion.
We're talking with Doug France of Portfolio Magazine about his article, Spy versus Spy. What's going on in your world? Are you a former agent? Where are you working? Or if you're just a regular Joe, has your company hired former government secrecy agents to work in security in your company? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Scott's on the line. Scott calling us from Oklahoma City.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
A few years ago, I worked for a very long time for a well-known insurance company, which I won't name, and I raised some accounting questions, and I was subsequently investigated, my personal life, apparently behind the scenes, and also by my coworkers, and apparently by outside investigators, and eventually I was fired, and I got the impression that they had enough dirt on me so that if I raised the accounting question publicly, there would be further issues in my personal life. And I'm still afraid of that company, so I'm really careful when I talk about it. Out of idle curiosity, I'm curious, your guest said that Walmart had gotten some personal emails from Google account. I'm curious how they obtain that information.
Doug France, any idea?
Yeah, I've got a couple of ideas, one of which came from people on the other side of the Walmart issue, someone who works for the former executive vice president who got fired. And the story was there that Walmart did its initial investigation using these ex-intelligence and government agents, and they got enough information to know that these two executives were having an affair. And so they went to the wife, both executives were married to other people, and they went to the wife and they confronted her with the evidence that they found, and she sort of flipped out and she went into her husband's computer and got and printed out these messages, or else may have sent them electronically to Walmart. And so that's how they were provided there. I don't think in this case there's no evidence that Walmart did anything illegal in getting that information. And it's, you know, it's one of the points, and it goes to the anecdote that the caller mentioned, and that is that when you go to work in a private sector workplace, you should have no expectation of privacy. And even though these were private emails between these two, the woman had used her Walmart computer. And so once the messages are on there, they're impossible almost to get rid of. And you just have to know that anybody within the company could, if they needed to and wanted to, could get into that. So, you know, the expectation of privacy in the private sector is an illusion.
Scott, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're talking with Doug France about his article, Spy Versus Spy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff's calling us from Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
Well, I guess my question is an expansion on the one that you just answered about the reasonable expectation in the private sector. My wife works for a high-tech firm, and we exchange emails occasionally. I have a son with a serious illness. Anything she does in an email, even, you know, outside of her work account, if she uses Yahoo or Hotmail or something like that, all that stuff is pretty much available to be seen by the company?
If she's using it on her company computer, you bet, because that's where it's getting stored there, and they'll get it if they want to.
So the country raised a hue and cry about George Bush, you know, doing warrantless wiretapping, and basically a private company is kind of doing the same thing all
well,
the time.
Except one difference there, Jeff. That's their computer.
Okay. So basically, if I wanted anything private, I should never have my wife email anything about that stuff.
Not on her work computer, no.
Oof. That's kind of scary stuff.
It is.
It's very scary.
Sorry.
Thanks very much, Jeff, and better luck next time. Just one caveat here. Is it surprising that former CIA and FBI, even MI5 and KGB agents, are applying for work in the private sector where they can make more money? A lot of retired cops also work as private investigators and that sort of thing.
Sure, but I think the surprising thing is the point you make there, Neil. The assumption has always been that these have been ex-policemen, you know, sometimes ex-FBI agents, occasionally ex-federal prosecutors. But this influx of former CIA agents in particular that we've seen since the end of the Cold War is when it really started, but then it became a crescendo after 2011 when a lot of disgruntled CIA agents left the agency, others were pushed out. Others have reached a certain age where they need to go out and make more money, and they can make a whole lot more money in here. So as I reported this article, I was actually surprised by the number of ex-intelligence agents who have gone into this line of work. I actually got the idea for the piece sitting in the dining room at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in McLean, Virginia, at Tyson's Corner one morning with a guy who had just recently left the CIA. He was a former senior official there, and we were just looking around at the other tables where there were all these guys deep in conversation, and he said, you know, almost everybody in here is a former colleague of mine, and they're all doing what I'm doing now. They've all hung out a shingle, and what he was doing was opening a business, consulting on risk, and doing various investigative stuff, and he had some of his former CIA agents working for him. And he said, you know, everybody in here in the room is doing some version of that. And so that sort of stuck in my mind, and as I researched this article for Portfolio, I found that, boy, there are a lot of these people out there, a whole lot of them.
Let's get Mike on the line. Mike with us from Santa Barbara in California.
Yes, sir. I actually work for one of the largest pharmaceutical companies on the market right now, and my job is to do all the screening and background checks. And I formerly worked for the intelligence agency, and when I left them, they actually bought my contract out and paid me almost twice as much as what I was making for the government.
Almost twice as much?
Almost twice as much.
That's quite a temptation.
Yeah. And we actually, within our company, do a more depth background check and monitoring than I've seen in the FBI or CIA or Homeland Defense.
Really?
Yes, sir.
The CIA, for example, uses polygraph machines.
We have polygraphed employees with their permission, but we do a lot of subterranean monitoring.
What kind of monitoring?
It's vocal analysis. Most of the offices in our corporate building have microphones and setups for video and audio surveillance.
That sounds a little creepy.
It is, but when you sign on to a lot of these companies, a lot of people don't read the fine print in their contract, and they're actually signing away their right to privacy when they join these companies.
Well, Mike, good luck to you, and thanks very much for the phone call.
Okay, have a wonderful day, sir.
And Doug France, we just have a few seconds left, but he seems to have made your point for you.
Oh, he did. Gosh, I wish I'd been able to talk to him for the article. That's fascinating that they have microphones in the offices of their company. You know, there's a section in the piece, Neil, about a firm that was set up by former CIA polygraphers, and they use these techniques now to help equity funds and hedge funds determine who's lying when the corporate executives make their presentations.
You can read about it in Doug France's article called called Spy versus Spy. He's also co-author of the book The Nuclear Jihadist and joined us today from the studios at NPR West. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Lynn Neary is going to be sitting in for me tomorrow. I'm at the dentist's office. Then Ira Flatow here on Friday. We'll see you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.